If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Kyle.
And then all of a sudden the screen's dark and you see the silhouette of some idiot jog onto the stage and switch the guitars that are in the stands.
So he's now a roadie.
No. That guy's cooler than what Shike does.
And Steve.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Rick.
Man, he is a good guy.
Kind of a dick about the Olympics, huh?
Wouldn't shut up about it. Hey, we're inviting you on to talk about this thing, but when you talk about that thing, we're just going to drag you for talking about that thing that we asked you to talk about.
See, everybody, the key to that joke is that he only mentioned he'd done 5 Olympics once.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it. Yeah.
Now, here they are, two guys who are living in style, Steve and Kyle.
Thank you, Ms. Vaughn. The incomparable Melissa Vaughn of the United Kingdom.
A real joy to talk to Greg last week. I had a lot of fun with that.
Greg is as I just said in that clip, he's an awesome guy.
I feel like he would have maybe messaged you after it, said something like, great catching up, yada yada. What's the deal with that other guy?
It's funny because Mescal and I have one of the longest running, not funny inside jokes that if I were to tell you about it, it would in no way be funny to you.
Is this kind of like if you explained it? Because people have a tendency to do this as well, and I'm just using this to compare. They think their dreams are super interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're wacky?
It would be very similar to explaining a dream to you.
And then I was at my house, but it wasn't my house, but it was my house. And then an airplane fell on it.
And then I was floating on a chair in a cloud when the devil flew
by. Very similar.
Okay.
But I know that if he were to walk in the room right now, within 30 seconds,
it would come up. So both of you realize it's unfunny.
Both of us realize that it started as something so simple. We were at the same event. Somebody was speaking up at the podium, and they were introducing somebody else. And the way that they referred to this person has stuck with us for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
It would be like, hey, Kyle's here. Kyle, stand up and say hi.
Yeah.
So it was that simple.
Because you have not as much as your slinging feces monkey cohorts have,
mm-hmm.
but you have some experience doing the stage thing where you're before a band comes out, you're the guy that nobody wants to see because the last act is over or, you know, the last opener.
Yeah.
That filler music stops.
Yeah.
So everybody gets
inherently like a rock. Yeah. Like a screeching guitar.
So everybody gets inherently excited.
Lights go down. Because as soon as the lights go down, the anticipation goes up. Everyone assumes next person you see is going to be the guy that you paid a couple hundred bucks to come and see.
Yes.
And then it's just some idiot in a polo. Like, yeah. Hey, you guys ready to rock?
The ambiance in the room just takes on a different tone.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. We're all, you know, too many $10 to $12 beers deep. So it's finally time. And then out comes 88 wear 94 3 K-Rock where the rock rocks t-shirt.
That's a lot of rocks. They really want you to know.
That's that, what they want you they to rock. Think, though, because they want to be known as the rock station's rock station wherever 94.3 K-Rock is.
Yeah.
And out walks Steve to, like, minimal applause because inherently it's disappointing.
No one knows who I am.
Yes.
No one cares who I am. And all they know is I'm not the guy.
And you've got your little, you've got your things that you're like, well, I got to plug our Facebook page for the station. And then I've got to mention that we've got, you know, the Wheel of Goo coming up on the morning show on Wednesday where we
That's
spin
a great bit. Great
where we'll
way.
Spin a wheel and one of us will have
Get
to have to touch some goo.
I mean, what else would the Wheel of Goo be?
Right. And then you're like, stay tuned. The main event's coming up. And then you walk off and that filler music comes back on.
Yeah.
But whether it's 2 minutes, five
right,
minutes.
Because the band is very specific. They don't want to be introduced.
Yes.
They want an introduction, but then they want to have their own pomp and circumstance with lasers and cannons and fireworks.
Right. Yeah. They've got the way it works where a lot of them come out to the same song and it's one of those songs with
yeah.
a slow build. So you just see silhouettes moving to the drum kit
yeah.
and the other guy grabbing his guitar. Nobody's like high fiving Steve wearing the 94.3 K-Rock where the rock rocks shirt
no.
as he walks off the side
Not
of the
at
stage.
All. Not at all. No one cares.
Both of those will be on the polls this week at Steve and Kyle. Is the Wheel of Goo a great bit?
And
is 94.3 K-Rock where the rock never stops rocking? I think I've changed it three
no,
times now.
Is 94.3 K-Rock the rock that rocks?
That's right.
Now, that's all in quotes.
Yes.
The rock station's rock station. We get it. Look, it's very
is
specific.
Is 94.3 K-Rock?
Now, 94.3
this
K-Rock.
This is all in quotes.
Yeah, the rock station that where the rock rocks.
Boy, we've created a lot of really good radio stations. You know that?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've got, I think we had an AM laugh station.
Yeah.
I mean, oh. Is 94.3 K-Rock where the rock rocks?
The rock station's rock station.
We're the rock station that all your rock stations are listening to when they're not with you.
Oh, man. That's a good one. If we were doing another one of those,
which we may.
Yeah. That would make the tournament next
just
year.
Just not 64. Hey, there's a few things we had to get to.
Yeah, one thing. Shockingly.
Yes.
We did some planning. We did some scheduling. You got here. You have, I forget what you said next weekend, but like, hey, let's figure out next weekend what day are we recording. And then we went and did like 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
This is a rarity.
We never do that.
This is an extreme rarity. Typically, it's Friday or Saturday where we're messaging saying, hey, were we going today?
Oh, yeah. What are we doing? Is it 10 o'clock? 4:30? Oh,
and
it's Sunday. Okay.
So, yeah, we've got ourselves all the way through the month of August. We know what days
well,
we're
not
recording.
Really. I mean, we have the next 2 weekends, and then we have a couple weekends off. A couple weekends that we didn't figure out.
Oh, I thought we got up to the holiday weekend.
No, we got the 7th. We got the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend of the 21st and the 28th, still wide open.
All right. You got big Labor Day plans? What are we doing for the... Because the holidays are always a genuine issue.
Do you call... Is Labor Day the holidays?
Am I not working?
I mean, it's a good point.
And if it's a bank holiday?
I don't know. I think the holidays and I think Christmas. Course.
Right. I guess I shouldn't refer to it as the holidays, but
maybe put it on the poll.
Yeah. Do you refer to Labor Day as the holidays?
Yeah.
Because now me, I treat that time of year a little bit differently, and this is a digression. But because I'm such a Halloween fanatic, Steve, that I start celebrating the spooky season on September 1st.
Right. Bats, things that go bump in the night, and a mask.
The mask. Yeah. All three of those. I put one out. It's like the it's almost like an altar at a church. You know, I've got a bat on one side.
a mask, and then the invisible thing that would go bump right. in the night.
Maybe represented by just somebody with a scared look on their face, like a cardboard cutout yes. of somebody going, ah!
A photograph of a mystery character.
What do you got going on? What are you doing to celebrate the beginning of the spooky season?
I'm going to be out of town, so I figure that's probably the weekend we want to. And now, granted, this is not great podcasting to plan this out on air, but I figure...
That's what we do.
Since you brought it up, I might as well ask, what should we do around the Labor Day holiday? I will be gone, Steve. Taking a little vacation from September 1st to September 5th.
Nice. We're going to be away at that time, too. Where are you going?
Hey, perfect. I am, wife and I are headed down to the Sunshine State, the city
Colorado.
That never sleeps, the Big Apple itself. Headed down to Orlando, Florida, Steve.
We're going to be in Orlando, Florida at the same time.
Are you serious?
We're going to be there. You said you're going to be there, what, the first?
First to the fifth.
We're going to be there from the third to the fifth.
Hey!
Hey, look at that.
You want to hang out?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
No. No.
So of all the...
Not at all.
All the things in Florida, and you don't think that'd be a fun little coincidence that we just... Maybe we record an episode!
I mean, it would be a fun coincidence, but it's just not going to happen. We're just not going to do it.
You want to record an episode?
In Florida?
Florida-sode? Florida chat?
That would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool. You just have to pack.
And I
know the airline. I'm assuming I know the airline you're taking because if you're going to Florida, you're going to visit your dad.
Going to see my dad.
Yeah. Hey, Hobie.
Yeah.
And
you want to stop by? We'll get him on the podcast.
Hey, you think Hobie would be a good guy? You think your dad would be able to enjoy his time on this podcast?
Enjoy it? No, okay. I don't. I don't think he would be comfortable. I think he would be fine if we asked him questions. He would answer, but I don't think it would be his comfort zone.
I've gotten the impression that the times I've spoken to your mom, her implication, every time it's kind of brought up, it's kind of in a head shaking fashion. When it's like the podcast gets brought up, she's like, "Oh, you boys."
She does not get it. Doesn't right. understand.
And that's totally fair, by the way.
I don't think she really understands exactly what a podcast is.
Right. Right. That's an entire generational thing
right.
that I completely understand because, mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be those people before you know it.
We are at most a few years away.
Ugh. That's horrifying to think about. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're in your late 30s. I'm in my...
you're in your early
30s. Yeah. Early
30s. How
old
are you? 30? 34. Late 20s.
You know, the way the hot take thermometer came together was a magical piece that we'll never be able to replicate. But our age meter, I would love to be able to put something down pen to paper and figure out how people can go about calculating and telling other people their age.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because I'm 40, but we've determined that is late 30s.
Yes.
You're 34. That is definitely late 20s.
Yeah.
What's 37? Is that mid? Mid 30s?
I'd call that early.
Early 30s. Of course. All right, so we're both going to be in Florida at the same time.
That's kind of neat. Are you I know you're going to visit your dad. You doing anything special down there?
We'll probably do a quick trip to like downtown Disney or something like that. But we're not, I mean, it's obviously way too early for Evelyn to be going to like theme parks or anything. It would be a complete waste of money at this point.
It's such a weird thing to have to plan because you want it's insanely expensive to do these.
That's why I'm hitching along with my dad. He's got a season pass.
Oh, that's so smart. Now, granted, I've had very few interactions with Hobie.
It is the most shocking thing in the world to me, too.
To Disney.
He's got season passes.
Like.
Now, granted,
that's one of the more unexpected things I've heard.
He lives, I don't know, I think a half hour away. So, and if they go basically two times a year, it's paid for itself.
Yeah, because as a resident and getting that pass, it's much cheaper.
So with my dad's wife, there's a bunch of grandkids and everything.
Yeah.
So they go with them a couple times a year, and then it's like it's more than paid for.
Right.
Hell, if you go there and park twice, it's basically paid for.
Yeah.
Parking's
no kidding.
So expensive.
That's what a huh? Yeah. I mean, I just never would have guessed it.
No, me either. When I remember years ago, I was like, oh, I'm getting passes to Disney World. I was like,
When we went to Disney World when we were kids, he didn't even go. Like, he stayed home.
I thought you were about to say he stayed in the car.
No, he like, stayed he's like, home.
You know what? You guys go in. I've got 14 newspapers I can read.
He was like, nah, I'll pass. I'd rather stay home in New Jersey and renovate the kitchen.
To be honest with you, thinking about spending multiple days with children at Disney World.
I am 100% on board with staying at home.
Makes me
the
think your dad had the right idea.
He had it figured out. He had it all figured out.
Oh, and now it worked out because now he's, you know, he's a retired guy living the Florida dream. And now he can go without having to worry about you dickheads ruining his day.
Yeah. He's not responsible for anything. Right. He's responsible for scanning the card so everybody can go through the turnstile or whatever it is. Here you go. Go. $20. Actually, it's like $100. $100. But you got season passes. You got a bunch of guests and everything.
It is a weird thing, though, to plan because you don't want to go too young because then they'll never remember a thing about it. And I'm not saying they have to remember every moment of the entire time there. But if you're going when they're 2, 3, 4 years old, plan on the only thing... only memory being photographs of that visit, which is that, I mean, they're enjoying it in the moment, but you'd prefer if the kids can, you know, 6, 7 years old, come back and say, hey, I saw Mickey. I saw Goofy. I did all of this, you know,
like the only time I went when I was a kid, I was either 4 or 5. I don't have any memory of it.
Well, that's the way it goes, right?
I know the pictures. There's some like home video of it, but I don't remember a thing. So that's why my plan is to, for Evelyn and any future kids we have, I'm not going to take them anywhere, but I'm going to tell them that they went there. Like, Cedar Point, you were there 5 times. You remember. And I'm just going to get really good at Photoshop.
As I say, you've got the computer. You've got, I mean, it doesn't take that long to learn Photoshop. Have her just, you know, just Evelyn's little face sticking out on top of the, you know, the top thrill dragster, whatever.
Every single picture she's going to look at when she's older and be like, why did I have the same shirt and same expression in every picture?
Yeah, you just need to stage a mini photo shoot. Where you say, now act excited, act scared, now really happy, now give me some tears, like a genuine photo shoot, so that you can stage these all coming up in a few years. Again, the main goal as a father, as learned from Hobie, make sure you can get out of those.
Yeah,
so you don't have the, you don't have the hassle of having to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Now, for him, obviously, like you said, it is easier too, but for us, you got to worry not just the Disney visit, which is days of walking, but it's the travel part of it. It's, you know, the fact that you're not 30 minutes away. It's the fact that you're flying from a different state and then doing it's just an extra, extra headache.
No fun whatsoever.
Hey, we've got.
Do you want to do a quick? We got a little surprise.
I was going to mention. I saw a stack of cash first.
I don't think we have the time to get to that, to get into that right away, but let's...
I'm going to demand time afterwards because there's just a pile of money on the recording desk.
This is big.
That I really do need.
This is really, really big.
But yes, in lieu of that, before we have our most recent interview on, interviewee, hit that intro, Steve. It's been a while.
Hey, folks, viewer mail time again. Oh, here's one from Sally, age 14. Dear Pig...
Oh, perfect. Seamless edits on that. Love it.
The guy we've got on in a few minutes is an audio pro. I bet he would show some proper respect for the viewer mail time. Yeah, so this is a little card, Steve. A card-size envelope from our friend Leanne Boger.
Yes.
It's very nice. Now, it's addressed to you, but you said it is for me.
I believe so, yeah.
Let me open this. Oh, just great. Yeah, just mangle it, Kyle. I mean, it doesn't matter. What does she need the envelope back?
Who cares?
Do you want the envelope back, Leanne?
We're not sending it. We've already paid enough postage for listeners of this podcast.
All right, it's a thank you card. Steve and Kyle, thank you cannot be said enough, as you know, but here's a little gift for Kyle that I felt he needed. A little sticker. Look at this thing, Steve. This will be put on my automobile very soon.
What do you got?
Easily distracted by wieners.
Oh, look at that.
With a sausage dog and everything.
It's beautiful.
That is just outstanding. Thank you so much, Leanne. That is so kind. I will cherish this, and I can't wait for the weird looks at traffic lights.
If you
hey,
wanna...
sir, you know what that sticker says, right?
Huh?
No, what sticker?
If you want to send us anything, the address is in the show notes of this episode.
Yes, very nice. Yeah. Thank you very much, Leanne. Glad to hear that you're still listening. I just assume that most of those longtime listeners
are gone. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all gone. Yeah, we've 100% turned over our listening audience, and we just don't hear from any of them now.
So what is this, a record fourth episode in a row we're going to be speaking to somebody?
It is. Yeah, so this is, yeah, we talked to Ben Kubrick of Algorithm. We talked to John Walczak of Missing on 9/11.
I'm
we
all caught up on both of them, by the way.
We talked to Greg Meskel of Five Olympic fame, as he won't shut up about.
Meskel.
And now today, our newest interview subject, which, by the way, they're not many, but the people who have chimed in on these interviews have said that they've really enjoyed them and they really think we have something in terms of when we talk to people, which I very much appreciate. Because,
we do?
Yeah.
And they
because it doesn't feel like a formed interview like a lot of these can.
275 episodes, yeah. We finally got a compliment.
So after 275 episodes, we've now realized that we're just another interview podcast.
After 275 episodes, we finally figured out that we're still not good at it, yeah. But it just doesn't feel like there's not the pressure of an right. actual interview.
Right.
So I guess that's a compliment.
So this interview today is with a man named Lindsey Graham. And now I know what you're thinking. No, it is not the United States Senator.
That is exactly what I thought when you sent me maybe a month ago, you sent me a text. Hey, I got Lindsey Graham scheduled. I was like, I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
You're on your own for that one.
Can we cancel that booking or? Yeah. But no, this is Lindsey Graham, who is the host of a number of podcasts, produces a number of podcasts. He has quite a catalog. You can find him at Lindsey A. Graham. That's Lindsey with an A and Graham with an A on Twitter at Lindsey A. Graham. He owns and operates Airship.fm, which is another podcast company. So he hosts American History Tellers, American Scandal. He hosted Wicked Game, which literally recapped every United States election ever, Steve.
Oh,
he executive produced the podcast 1865, which was my first experience with him. And most recently, he started a podcast called Business Movers, where you can find all of your podcasts every Thursday, new episodes of that release. Deep dives into corporate histories of different big companies. Like the one he's going through right now is GM, and about how the crash, the bailout, how they came out of it, the CEO changes. It's
so
fascinating.
This is like a current history of it. So
all different ones. So they had Coca-Cola about the new Coke saga.
Nice.
That I listened to. That was very interesting. Let me see. The John DeLorean that went.
Oh, man, that is such a fascinating story.
Yes, that went five episodes. Steve Jobs. All different points. So it's important to note these aren't full life stories of these companies and these people. Mm-hmm. These are times in their history about major moves that these businesses underwent, whether it was, like I said, GM after the crash and the bailout, or whether it was Coca-Cola after the failure of New Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating stories that he breaks down in multiple episode series. That's Business Movers. So I have so many questions for Lindsey Graham, because Lindsey Graham, when you listen to him, first of all, velvet tones.
Good pipes.
My goodness. If there was ever a man born, you know what? I'll tell him this. If there was ever a man meant to do podcasting, it's Lindsey Graham.
Let's get him on.
Hey, you reached Lindsey Graham.
Okay.
Leave a message. Bye.
We did say Sunday at 11 a.m. And it is Sunday, August 1st, 2021, the year of our Lord. It's the Stephen Kyle podcast. Exactly 11 a.m. as we record this. Was there a little mix-up? A little oopsie?
Doesn't look like it. Looks like everything should be good to go.
Shooting a text?
Yeah.
Have you been texting with him, or is this going to be out of the
Just
blue?
Email.
Okay.
Just
I went right to voicemail, too. That was a, don't
want
to do that.
Maybe he's on the other line. I don't know if we want to try one more time before we pivot to doing whatever else we had and then wait to see if I get an email back from him.
Hello.
Hi, is this Lindsey?
This is.
Lindsey, it's the Stephen Kyle podcast. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We got a little worried because your phone went right to voicemail. We thought
I apologize.
That's all right. We thought that at the last minute you decided, I do not want anything to do with these two clowns, and hung up.
Yeah. Well, I did think that, but that's not the reason I didn't answer.
Yeah, now we've undergone a couple schedule changes, Lindsay, so that would be very excused. So the first thing I have to ask you, Lindsay, you are, I believe, hosting and producing, I did the count earlier, it's pretty accurate, 1,300 different podcasts. So what makes you, on a Sunday, willing to even say yes to being on somebody else's podcast?
It's a lot easier, honestly, right. Just to yammer for a bit. I don't have a script in front of me. I don't even have a microphone. I'm on the phone in my house, so this is a lot easier.
That's easy enough, right? Anybody can do that.
Now, what I wanted to get to right off the bat, because you've done all these podcasts about American history. You're currently hosting Business Movers. You can find new episodes of Business Movers wherever you get your podcasts on Thursdays. And Lindsay, I'm going to ask you about Wondery Plus here in a little bit so you can break down how people can get all of those episodes 1 week early and ad-free. But I want to ask you, you do all of these. You're talking about different sagas in American history and business, yet you decided to set the internet ablaze 1 month ago with what can only be described as a scorching hot take about your cast iron pan.
Oh, boy.
Have you been able to live that down, or do you still have people coming at you for hand washing your cast iron pan?
Yeah, it's not just hand washing. It's hand washing with soap. Yeah, I just pour the stuff in. Yeah, it's turns out the world keeps spinning. And the pan is clean. So I think it's a win.
It is weird. Like, we've just been kind of bred to believe forever that, oh, no. You're going to ruin this delightful cooking utensil if you come near it with soap. And so you post a slow-mo video of you dumping like a half a gallon of Dawn in it. And have you ever had that many people mad at you before?
Well, I'm sure I have. I'm a podcaster who talks about politics sometimes, but
you're a podcaster named Lindsey Graham who talks about politics. I mean, that can't go unnoticed either.
But no, in my face, that's the outrage was something new.
That's just outstanding because, like Steve mentioned, you obviously share a name with a United States politician that's current, and now there's a lot of instances of this happening with whether it's athletes and. Or any, you know, if you share a name with us with a really famous person, anytime they're in the news for whatever reason, obviously you're being misidentified. How often does that happen to you? And do you even bother responding anymore?
It happens a lot, obviously, but it ebbs and flows. It kind of depends on whether the other guy is in the news. And yes, I respond. It's a sport for me. So the responses are, you know, the rarest responses. Oh, sorry, my mistake. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think that would be the easiest, most common.
Sure.
But no, people just dig in their heels, don't get it. And the idea that they're actually conversing over a course of days with a United States senator who is pointing out, like, do you like podcasts? What do you mean I like podcasts? Well, because I'm a podcaster. You don't have and over and over and over. I don't understand. People, the worst.
Right. I'm kind of surprised. Like, if you know, oh boy, healthcare vote upcoming, I better lock my account, you know, because that, I mean, but like you said, you kind of enjoy it. It's not trolling as much as just engaging the masses.
Trolling. Yeah.
You do so much voice work. It's a lot about history. It's a lot of, you know, business movers. When you're done, are you just like angry at history? Like, anybody wants to ask you a historical question, are you just getting mad at them?
No, not absolutely not. I mean, that's like the whole point of this portion of my career is expanding the universe of human understanding and a question that has an answer. that's well considered and comes from a place of good faith, that's fair game. That's the whole point. It's not in good faith that bugs me. It's like, you know, yeah, well, just, you know, you right. understand, you know, that the other person asking the question or making the comment, they know too, that they're just grandstanding or making a point or deliberately taking whatever is the topic at hand, and twisting it. That's what gets me going. But, you know, thankfully most people aren't that. Those people are few and far between. Most people are just curious.
Now, like Kyle just said, you seems like the bulk of your work, at least currently, is in historical-based podcasts. Is there something that draws you to that, or is that just kind of like what you're offered at the time? Or, you know, do you have like some deep-rooted desire to like be the voice of the Puppy Bowl or something like that? Like, is there something that keeps you in that history genre?
Well, it was just handed to me. You know, my very first podcast with Wondery was a history podcast, American History Tellers. And that came from Hernan Lopez, the CEO, just calling me up out of the blue, really, and saying, hey, would you like to do this? He had heard me and my sound design on a smaller podcast that I had done with Terms, with Wondery, called Terms. And just like the way I sound. So it was just a fantastic leap of faith on his part. But he said, you know, in the call, you're a history buff, right? and those are one of those questions you just don't say no to.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, and it was like, I've got this job for you. It'll change your life. You're a history buff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you say yes.
Right.
The good news was that I actually was for a few moments a history major in college. I've always been interested in history. I don't know that I would have called myself a buff, but I've certainly become one since. And I like living in this space. It is actually, I mean, especially if you think about the way the country has turned to history and made it a talking point of political events. It's something that's important to us.
Are you looking forward to about a decade from now doing podcasts that specifically focus on how crazy politics and everything are during this exact moment in time? I mean, it's going to be ridiculous, right?
I hope that I can, because that would mean we survived it.
Right. Now, you do all of this voice work. It's all history and business. And like we talked about, when you're done, are you just like cracking a pint of Chunky Monkey and turning on like Love Island to unwind? Are you just like a totally different person outside of this?
Well, except that I'm not watching that and I'm not eating that, but pretty much, you know, a very common question is, what podcast do you listen to?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't listen to any. I'm spending 40, 50 hours a week making 3 to 4 podcasts a week. I don't have the time or the inclination to sit down and listen any longer. I've just been doing that for the whole work week. So, you know, I have a regular life. I come home, I make dinner for my wife and my daughter and you know, have a little decompressed time and then start it up again the next day.
Do you ever think, though, you know, if you didn't say yes when the CEO called you of Wondery, if you had just said no, that you could be hosting something like, you know, Pie in the Face or some other hijinks laden podcast series instead of all the serious stuff?
Because I think you got it in you to do it. It's not too late to shift gears.
That's lightning only struck once. I don't know. I mean, it's speculative. I don't know what would have happened. I probably would have kept going at it. I mean, 1865, the podcast, the audio drama, that probably would have happened because it was someone else's creation that I was helping to birth. But I don't know. No. But am I going to be, you know, a host on Comedy Central's next Gen X garbage man? No.
I just, in my mind, I can't unsee it now. You in kind of like a Mark Summers style shirt from Double Dare, maybe unbuttoned down to the chest hair a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're just introducing, again, some real wacky hijinks, Lindsay. I think you could get into it.
What was
it?
Pie in the face?
Pie in the face. Yeah, yeah.
Pie in the face. Yeah. All right. Well, let's put the pitch together.
That's right. I don't know how this, I don't know how that visual medium is going to work in an audio format, but, you know, you're the brain piece here. You figure it out and let us know. We'll go 50-50 on it.
You just need sound effects. That's right.
Now, how did you get into podcasting? Because overall, this is still pretty new. This isn't something that people are going through high school and into their advanced education thinking, yep, I'm going to get a degree in whatever, and I'm going to be a podcaster. So can you give us a quick rundown of your journey to becoming this guy spending 40 to 50 hours a week doing podcasts?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, podcasts, they're kind of old. They're kind of new. They're kind of mixed together. It's the internet that really made them happen. But no, there, you know, when I was in college, there was no podcasting 101. So the way to this career is littered with accidents, but I've always been interested in audio. You know, I'm a musician, and I built a little home studio, and I recorded local bands and liked the album production process quite a bit, really. I mean, if it paid any bills, that's probably what I'd be doing. And so I already had a lot of exposure to the art and science of audio, microphones and compressors and EQs and all the rest. And I always loved storytelling. I mean, when I first heard This American Life, I realized that's something special. Yeah. You know, that's something really, really good and moving and emotive and important. And so, you know, I dabbled in the Dallas theater and improv community as well, and kind of always wanted to steer those guys into doing some sort of projects, you know, audio projects, and that never happened. But so this is kind of bubbling under the surface, and meanwhile I'm getting a marketing degree and doing all the regular ordinary things. But at some point I got fired from a marketing job at an insurance company. And, you know, that's great. I hated it. but it presented me with this opportunity, because at this point, I'm married. My wife has a great career of her own. And maybe, you know, I've got a few months window to try and do something completely different. And so I tried to make audio a career. Now, at that time, I didn't know exactly what. I figured I'd be recording other people doing radio commercials. I'd compose a little bit for radio, TV. I don't know, whatever the hell, you know, hell I could do. Mm-hmm. And right at that moment, someone had moved to Dallas from New York who had worked with Audible on audiobooks and was looking to kind of start a business of their own. And we met and we hit it off and we tried that. And eventually, you know, audiobooks sounded like a great idea. It's a horrible business, but it takes so long to do. It's so detail oriented and the margins are just not there. And, you know, if you're working at our level in the industry, you're not choosing the books you get to do. Sure. So it's all science fiction, dragon erotica.
Right. Yeah, you're doing the novels that you see on always, like the clearance shelves at not a bookstore, at a grocery store.
At truck stops, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that and you know, the stress of that plus you know, some other stuff led that business to fail. But it did come out with a podcast, an audio drama called Terms, which was, you know, kind of a speculative political thriller that I came up with and Wondery liked. It came out, you know, just weeks after the 2016 election, and it was written in 2015, so we had no idea what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the general premise was that a well-liked two-term president is outgoing and his incoming businessman populist candidate is sure to destroy America, and so the incoming president wants to stop him.
Huh. Boy, it's almost like you were you were an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, it seems
from 20 years before
seems
type of thing.
Pretty accurate, Lindsay.
Yeah, it was. We had no idea, and so you know we kind of caught a moment by accident, and but it was great. It was a good show, and Wondery liked it, and it started my career.
Wow, that's amazing.
Now, is there any certain era, because you've spanned history? I mean, it's not just the last 50 years, 100 years. No, I mean, you have, there's a American history tellers dating back to Roanoke. Is there any era that particularly intrigues you that, you know, in the day-to-day where you look at your rundown and you posted this on your Twitter at Lindsay A. Graham, kind of your Monday of all the stuff you had to voice over. Is there one that kind of gives you an extra pep in your step? Like, hey, I get to read about this era again.
Yeah, that's another common question. And the answer is no, because it's not really the era that's important to me. It's the general story, the impact, the importance of it. So for that reason, there are some special eras. I mean, Reconstruction for me is become a very important one. One, because no one knows anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it was the biggest lost opportunity the nation's ever seen. We totally failed. And
it was a massive failure in hindsight.
And it, you know, it cost, well, the cost was enormous. We have 150 years of continued strife that could have perhaps been avoided. So yeah, it's the consequence. It's the social imports of the era, the story that's most important to me. It's when it rings, you know, in our modern ears, like, geez, that's happened before, hasn't it? And and that's why, you know, history is human. That's why it's interesting and important, because we really haven't as a species changed since 1776. We're the same sort of people, bungling, you know, hairless apes, and we make the same mistakes. So that's what I like, is when perhaps we can find something to carry with us forward.
We're talking to Lindsay Graham, host of a million things, but newest project, Business Movers, wherever you can get your podcast, new episodes every Thursday, also a part of Wondery. Do you want to talk a little bit about Wondery Plus and how that works? A lot of people really enjoy that because, one, we're an impatient person, and two, nobody likes those ads. So can you talk a little bit about Wondery Plus and where people can find Business Movers there?
Yeah, sure. Well, Business Movers is available wherever you get your podcast, but it is available ad-free and 1 week early on Wondery Plus. Wondery Plus is Wondery's subscription program. You can get it two ways, through Wondery directly. They have an app. It's actually a pretty good app, as podcast apps go.
Right.
You can also get it through Apple, the Apple Podcast app, and purchase through them. I mean, it gets you the same material in the same way, but it's just two different marketplaces for it. Now, Apple has been, the rollout has been rocky, I will admit. A lot of people are very confused about how it works, because they will see that episode 4, after listening to 1, 2, and 3 of a series, is available, but you have to pay for it.
Oh.
And people feel that this is a bait and switch. They do not realize that it's early access for subscribers. They just need to wait like 3 days.
Oh, I got you.
And then they get it. It's been hard. The customer relations aspect of it just wasn't thought through.
Sure.
So, and, you know, I get far more complaints about that than I do, you know, the confusion of my name with the senator.
Right. Yeah. And I've noticed that, I mean, you're a guy, has there been anything to you trying to stay away from the reviews, or has this issue with Apple Podcasts caused you to dive further into that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm only one man. You know, we're talking about tens of thousands of listeners. And, I mean, there's a real impact to these decisions. You know, the download numbers in the last couple of months have fallen off by a third.
Yeah, us too.
What the heck? That's what we've been saying.
yeah, we're trying. How do we? Come on, man. Tell us all the secrets. How do we make bank in the podcast world? Because we haven't seen we haven't been in the black yet.
You make better content.
Oh boy! Damn, got us again.
The one thing we can't do, Lindsay, we're just incapable.
So, I mean, industry complaints aside, Wondery Plus is pretty amazing in that it's a small fee and you get a whole bunch of stuff, some exclusive series that you won't get at all in the public feed. There was a series on History Tellers about William Walker, who is someone I knew nothing about, an American who went down to South America and became president of Nicaragua for like 6 days.
What? What? I have so many questions.
he invaded. He invaded and took over and made himself president and then was immediately reviled and ran out of the country.
You've got to be the guy at parties, though. Once people find out what you do, where you almost become, you know, the dog and pony show. Hey, Lindsay, tell us another interesting history story, right? Come on, do it.
Yeah, tell us about that Coca-Cola tidbit again from Business Movers or something like that.
I enjoy telling the story, so I don't mind. I mean, like, it would be nice to actually have parties. I'm looking forward to them.
Right. It's been a while.
It's a lot of fun. You know, the cocktail knowledge that I'm carrying around in my head right now is enormous and fascinating.
That's a great term for it.
Yeah.
It's a fun gig. I like my job is I guess the end of it. I really do.
It's all that matters, man. Lindsey Graham, he hosts American Scandal, American History Tellers, Business Movers, American Elections, Wicked Game, the executive producer of 1865. Thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Lindsey.
You had a lot of fun.
Oh, you bet.
All right. Take care. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Lindsey Graham at Lindsey A. Graham on Twitter, I believe.
At Lindsey A. Graham on Twitter. Boy, those are like I said, those are pipes meant for podcasting.
Oh, my God.
Radio, podcasting, whatever he chose in terms of an audio medium. The one question I didn't get to ask him that I wanted to that I'm always fascinated with people who work with bands is what was the one that did one go big that you listened to? Like, oh boy, this thing's a real turd.
Or what was the big, or what was the crappiest band that thought they were the biggest band? You know, the one that like, you know, they wanted the typical, was it Van Halen? The Van Halen rider of the Brown M&Ms.
Yeah, Brown M&Ms only or something, right?
Yeah. Like, who made the biggest stink and actually stunk the most was the worst band in the world.
Now, you get, speaking to his terminology there of cocktail knowledge.
I love that term.
You're probably getting cocktail knowledge, cocktail questions about radio, right? Once they find out you work in radio, it's all going to be, you meet any big bands?
That's the one. It's always, oh, what band, what music do you like? They always ask about music and they always ask about the bands that I've met. And my answer,
it's always disappointing.
My answers are always very disappointing. Although, no, it's cool though. It's cool to say, because the question is always, who's the coolest celebrity?
It's got to be Snoop Dogg, right?
Didn't really meet Snoop Dogg.
Oh, okay. He was
Slash,
just there.
By far.
Oh,
Slash.
He was in studio.
Slash was awesome. Travis Pastrana was cool too.
Okay.
Now a lot of people would like may not know Travis Pastrana, but the motocross rider and like, you know, just multi-sport athlete, just super cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys. It was annoying how cool he was, because he's like, he's already like this tall, good-looking guy.
Right.
He's got like gold medals and everything, and he's good at everything he tries. You're like, come on, man. Like,
can't you just be marginal at one thing? Like, can't you like trip over a shoelace on your way in to make me feel better?
Yeah. Don't instantly come into the room and be better than everything I'm good, better at me than everything I'm good at.
Idiot Pastrana.
So that was good. That was nice to talk to Lindsey.
Yeah. We do have a few weeks worth of polls to catch up on.
Do you want to talk about the fat stacks over there too?
Oh my God.
Do we have time? We got a little bit of time, I think.
If we're going to do that, polls are getting bumped a week.
Oh, perfectly fine. Polls are getting bumped.
All right. So I walked in Now, granted, I know we have some new equipment, so my logical guess is going to be that this is equipment related, even though I saw that we posted our equipment for sale and it was, you know, you could hear a pin drop.
Well, I got to put it this way. I got the email 3 weeks in a row from eBay saying,
"You sure?
We've relisted your item free of charge."
Ah, thanks, eBay.
Yeah.
Surely they'll find it this time.
Yeah.
So
we had gotten a bid here and there, but it never, yeah. A couple of the things, I think we were selling three different things. One of them did sell, like, first week on eBay. It was like $15.
Mm-hmm.
One of them sold, I believe, the second time. Same thing. It was like $20-$25, which is what I expected to get from them.
Yeah.
But the mixer, yeah, the mixer remained. So that one listed like three times.
Yeah.
And then I finally got a bid of
$59.99
on it, even though I wanted to sell it for, I don't know, $150.
Yeah, that's what when we were looking at what these things sold for, did you offer that bid our signatures on the mixer if they bid more?
And I didn't think that they, I'm not sure if that would have increased the value or the desire.
Total missed opportunity.
So we had a bid of $60, and then I also had it posted locally on like Marketplace. And so the other day,
you're telling me that we're in the black? Well, no, we still pay for a new mixer, and we're still
years horrendously in the red.
Years of hosting fees, and you're telling me though.
I mean, but remember, Billy Stacks is sending us $5 a month. We're
Billy, you're such a good man for that. You're telling me we just made money. From us?
We
from
got cash.
Hey!
Yeah. Pretty nice, right? Hold on.
We've really got a
Wait, what's this one? Hey! I feel like that one's a little more
that
fitting.
That one is better. Well, now we know. So the second button is celebration.
So, yeah, some guy... So it had a bid on it of $60 on eBay. So I had to cancel the eBay auction because a guy messaged me locally on Facebook, and he did that thing that everyone does where they say, "What's the bottom dollar that you'll take for it?"
Okay.
To which I respond, "Why would I tell you
that?" Why? Yeah, exactly.
Why would I tell you what the least amount is that I'll take for it? Because then you're just going to offer that.
Steve, the most horrific negotiator, answers it.
Yeah, that's not even negotiating.
That's ridiculous.
It's just a stupid question. So the guy, we eventually came to a deal, and the guy came over and picked it up the other night. And he gave us cash for it. And I said to him, as I was like kind of just making small talk as he looked over the mixer before he committed to it, I was like, "Oh, you recording a podcast, you in a band? What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Yeah, me and my brother, we kind of perform in a band, but we just have a set of speakers, so it doesn't really sound good." And I was like, "Yeah, that doesn't sound like it would be very good."
I know that. Yeah, boy.
And he's like, "Yeah, so we're trying to upgrade, but, you know, money's a little tight." I was like, "Oh, cool. Yeah, I hear you." And he's like, "And we got a gig tomorrow, so we kind of need this for it."
Boy, are people dying? Listen,
I was like,
we couldn't
boy,
get...
Boy, that's a quick turnaround there, buddy.
We couldn't get booked at a chicken joint in Van Wert.
Yeah.
And these two idiots with speakers and nothing else got booked?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Well, like Lindsay did just tell us. Maybe it's the content, boys.
Maybe we should make our own spinoff of Pie in the Face.
I think Pie in the Face is too high for us to achieve.
I don't know, man. I feel like we've had a lot of good ideas. K-Rock 94.3, The Rock That Never Stops Rocking, or whatever it was.
It's The Rock That... Your Rock That...
I mean, I gave you guys a freebie with The Wheel of Goo. And now, an audio podcast titled Pie in the Face?
I think it's a winner.
I mean, I pretty much created a multimedia company this morning alone. I'm an entrepreneur now.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. Lindsay's going to be doing a podcast about you one day.
Yeah.
You're going to be on Business Movers.
And I'm going to complain about it every step of the way and then leave him a one-star review because he's behind a paywall.
Well, let me tell you, after I sold the mixer the other day, I was wheeling and dealing.
Oh, no.
Shaking and baking.
So you go in waves, what I've noticed.
I do.
And it's because But I don't think it's like you knowingly doing this. I think a lot of it is you're doing other projects and you realize, hey, yeah, I have something. And so I'm going to guess that this is related to some type of giveaway or sale.
It is.
Of course.
You said it comes in waves. If you want to go with the water analogy, I'm riding the tsunami right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm at the top.
Steve's jet skiing the top of a 100-footer.
I got Fukushima in my sights.
That's right.
As these waves come crashing in. Yeah.
What else did you do? Now, let me guess. No, I don't.
Of the century.
I don't even know if I have a guess, because the only project or something that I'm fully aware that you're involved in is the Comanche.
Yeah, the Comanche.
And I did notice the hood was up on the Comanche, mm-hmm, and the extra, now only, truck bed was laying flat instead of on its side. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Comanche related.
No, it's not. It's, boy, but you bringing that up. Yeah, I finally did get rid of the extra bed that I had for the Comanche a couple weeks ago. Made bank off of that. I was thrilled.
And this was after tires a week ago.
Tires, yeah, it was like within a day or two of the bed.
So you're just rolling in the dough.
Rolling in cash.
Pandemic's been good to Steve.
Has never been better.
Just two guys rolling in it.
The history books will tell you that 2020 to 2021 was rough for the American economy. The Steve and Kyle book on the economy will tell you that 2020 and 2021 were fantastic.
When our story is written, I don't want a chapter for 2020 to 21. I just want an image of the cartoon Scrooge McDuck swimming in gold coins.
Swimming in the pool. Yeah, so.
I mean.
It's not Comanche related.
I'm not. I don't have any guesses.
But it is Jeep related.
For your everyday Jeep?
For the everyday Jeep.
So you're upgrading your everyday family vehicle.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
I'm not.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off, Steve.
So, you know, like when I did the rebuild on my Jeep, I acquired a lot of parts. I acquired a lot of parts when we did me and Cy Nolan and Ryan Young did the black Jeep as well.
It's also important to cut in and remember that you did refer to this as a new deal of the century here on the Steve and Kyle podcast, and everywhere we observe rolling centuries.
Of course, yeah, rolling centuries.
So this will be the deal of the century from 2021 to 2121.
Yeah, no other deal can top this for the next 99 years and 363 days.
Okay, so you had a surplus between all of the second chance Jeeps involvement.
Now, the stuff that we had acquired for the Cy Nolan Ryan Young Jeep, most of that had been kind of gotten rid of over the last couple of years or so. I still had a ton of stuff left over from my personal daily driver Jeep, because a lot of the parts, like I would need one little part, but people just wanted to get rid of it. So they'd say, you got to take it all.
Here's a pile of crap for the same price that you would have paid for the one.
Yeah. So I had so much stuff that I didn't just want to throw out, but I didn't want to go. I didn't want to take the time of taking pictures of everything, posting individually. So yesterday or the other day, out of the blue, I just happened to click on one of the Facebook groups that I had joined years ago, where it was like Jeep parts for sale in Michigan. That was the name of the group. Now, I know that that's a page that you frequent all the time. Always looking for Jeep parts.
I can't help myself but want a carburetor.
A 2013 Jeep, definitely a carbureted engine.
And then, like, I've been on the hunt for a while for a piston.
Uh-huh. Yep, got them, too.
Yeah. They have one of them?
Yep.
Each car is one.
Just one.
One piston and a carburetor next to it.
So I just happened to click on one of those groups. Just to scroll through. I don't know what.
So they gave you the recommendation.
I don't know what brought me there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what's going on in this group. I haven't been in here in a while. Yeah. Click on it. First post is a guy who said, hey, I'm rebuilding a Jeep. Uh-huh. I need basically the whole front suspension, because it was a murder Jeep. It was smashed up.
A couple deaths.
So I'm looking at him like, he's got a list of everything he needs. I'm like, I got that. I got that. Like four of them. I got this, got this, got this, got this, 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 this. There was like 15 parts on there that he needed that I had. So I sent him a message.
Which I'm sure he never expected,
no,
by the way.
Because when I did it, it was like one part from a guy in Chicago, part from a guy in Alberta.
Yeah, and then a seatbelt from a guy in Missouri.
Yeah, which
never shows.
Took a little while to get that. So I messaged this guy. He's on the other side of the state. I said, mm-hmm. I have every single part that you need. He was like, really? Yeah, I got it all. He's like, oh, it sucks that you're a couple hours away, but maybe I can make it work. Then he messaged me back 5 minutes later. He's like, my buddy lives 20 minutes from you, and he's coming here this weekend. If I coordinate it, can he stop by and
grab the stuff?
Like, if it all works out. I was like, yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, why would you care? As long as there's
I don't care.
As long as there's dollars in his hand.
As long as there's somebody coming to pick it up.
You start raising the price then?
So he goes through and he's like, oh, so you got this? Can I see this? Can I see this? I took a bunch of pictures and sent it to him. And after going back and forth with him for about an hour, he was like, all right, I'm going to sleep on it tonight. And I was like, oh, okay, I lost the sale. I just wasted the last couple of hours.
But what would his purpose be? I mean, you're literally giving him everything he needed.
I think he had another option that was of, instead of replacing everything with stock parts, he was thinking about upgrading it and putting in bigger axles and this and that. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, I think, I don't know. Let me talk to you in the morning. So that was on Thursday night. And I thought for sure Friday morning would come around.
Yeah.
Either he would ghost me or he'd say, yeah, I decided to go the other route. Lo and behold, I'll take it.
And he didn't barter?
He didn't barter at all, which makes me think I had it priced way too low.
Oh, yeah.
But I still made $500.
Off of
parts that were in the basement and in the garage that I had completely forgotten about.
Wow.
And just given up on selling.
So not only did you clear out space.
Yeah.
Brought home bank for it.
Bank.
My God.
I need to spend it on something stupid.
That's going like to build stat. Such a nice table in our studio. What are you thinking? Concrete still? Or
The what? The who?
I'm not thinking like maybe some marble in there.
Marble?
Yeah. What do you think?
In the room back there?
Yeah, the studio. Yeah, yeah.
The storage room.
It's a lot of money. It'll go a long way in there, you know? Like physically, like if you crumble it up, throw it. It'll because there's a lot of space. Because
there's
nothing in there.
There's a ton of space. So, yeah. Deal of the century?
Look at
can
that.
I get a, are you a notary? Can you stamp
this
that?
This is surprising because this is the other way.
I'm never on this end.
You're
of
not
it.
On this end. Usually you're claiming that you received.
Claiming.
And there's no way after... I would argue the limitation on claiming you got a deal of the century is capped at like $100 on his end.
Yeah.
Because if you spend $500, there's no deal to be had in my mind.
So I think that I bet he's on the other end still thinking he got the deal of the century.
Well, I mean, honestly, he got all the parts from one source.
Look,
so
we're both happy.
Yes.
We both got the deals of the century. I'm happy with that. Maybe I could have said... couple hundred bucks more. I don't know, but that may have been enough for him to say no thank you.
Exactly.
It's not worth it.
A 10-20-30% increase. You might not be sitting here planning APS 4.0. But now got the world at our fingertips.
Yeah,
you know,
I was so happy. I was so excited. You were the first person I texted. I said something like, I just brokered the most recent deal of the century.
Yeah, and to be fair, I know you'd said that, and in total honesty, I try to not follow up on this because I much prefer to find out
in this setting.
In this setting, because
I think we have to at least, because I've done that with you a couple of times. I think we need to at least say something. Like we just need to say
acknowledge it, like
noted,
received. Check back in 3 days type of thing.
Yeah.
Now we have to start speaking in military.
You have
speak.
To send a red receipt.
That's right. Noted, acknowledged, recorded to verify in 48 hours time over.
Yeah. So that was, you know something? I completely forgot to play my official.
Oh my gosh. You have your theme music for your deals of the century.
Yeah, my official Facebook marketplace deal of the century.
Two
music.
Deals on the Facebook Marketplace this week that qualify for this music.
Yeah.
One, the mixer, and two, your car part, second century in a row, deal of the century.
Of course, I'm trying to play it. And of course, it's not playing.
There's so many buttons
there we
on
go.
This mixer.
I'm going to ditch some crap to some losers on the Facebook market. I'm posting, looking for a scumbag on the Facebook Marketplace.
I like the looking for a scumbag line is my scumbag. Favorite because dirtiest people on the planet. If you, that's not fair. I
no.
can't even finish it.
No.
I just sold stuff on there very recently.
Yeah, what'd you get rid of?
I sold a cooler.
Really?
With a Monster logo on it.
Nice. Get some bank for it? You get $500 no. bucks for it?
No, it's not the deal of the century. I was out of brought it up.
What'd you do, like 10 bucks?
It was like, I think it was about 25, 30
hey.
Bucks. People love that Monster Claw logo, man. I don't.
Speaking of dirtbags.
Right. No, yeah. The whole lot of them, right? Imagine yourself. If you're wearing a Monster piece of apparel right now, look in the mirror.
Oh, by the way,
smash your head into it.
Apologies if we just lost Robert 4.5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Hit the music. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We don't have an interview for the first time in more than a month.
Do you want to set something up?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a guy coming over that might be patching a couple drywall spots.
Maybe we
can get him on.
Maybe we can bring back 2 minutes next week.
Yeah. Huh? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Steve and Kyle. A bunch of polls from this week, a bunch that we have from the last couple weeks that we'll get to next week.
Yeah, a lot, like
after,
half of the episode next week.
Yeah, after we talk to our big guest.
The big interview next week, right?
Thank you to Lindsey Graham on Twitter, at Lindsey A. Graham. A slew of podcasts that he hosts.
Yeah, American History Tellers, American Scandal, Business Movers.
That one sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to download a couple episodes of that.
There's some really fascinating stories there, things that you would never think could be multi-episode discussions about, but they are, and they're tremendous. I just finished, I believe it was a 3-part series on Roanoke, the lost colony of Roanoke. Some fascinating stuff there in Lindsey Graham's catalog you can find on Wondery.
At Lindsey A. Graham on Twitter. Thank you very much to him. Talk to you next week. See ya.